Welcome to Allegedly Look In Your Pants. If you don't mind, look into your pants and see what is covering your parts. Is it me undies? Because if it isn't, it should be. Me undies are the world's most comfortable underwear. That's right, me undies. They come in an amazing assortment of patterns and colors for men's and women's. And as an allegedly exclusive, you can get 20% off your first order by going to meundies.com/funny, F-U-N-N-Y. That's right, meundies.com/funny for 20% off. Every pair of MeUndies is made with sustainably sourced modal. It's a fabric that's even softer than cotton. Softer than cotton? You betcha. Everyone's fired up. Everyone will want to see what's in your pants. Get MeUndies at meundies.com/funny. Funny, F-U-N-N-Y, and support Allegedly. Now, let's get to the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Allegedly. I'm Theo Vaughn.
And I'm Matthew Cole Weiss.
And we have our sidekick here with us, Ari Manis.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me to here as your sidekick.
You bet. I love having you here. And
somehow we have I don't think they could do this without you, Ari.
I think you're right. And we have an amazing actor here in studio.
Adam Rodriguez, or is it
Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
Yeah, what does Rodriguez mean?
I think after all of these years now, you say it however you like.
Okay.
As long as you get it out.
Steve. It sounds like a dance move, like Rodriguez.
It's very sexy.
Rodriguez.
Like you could really put your neck out. Like you
could
definitely
do a triple Rodriguez.
That's it. Yeah. Well, we're so happy to have you here today, man. How our podcast works, it's the only competitive podcast. Matt and I compete every episode to win the podcast. You're not only going to be the interviewee today, you're also going to be the judge.
All right, so first, you want me to go first?
Yeah, why don't you go first today? This is our story. Sure. Let's get, we have 3 minutes on the clock.
All right. Well, I'm going to tell a story. So before I worked at Team Z and before everything, I worked for magazines, right? I did red carpet coverage. And I'd interviewed celebrities and red carpets.
You can lose points for bragging.
TV news magazines.
No, like People Magazine, Us Weekly, things like that. And I have done literally hundreds and hundreds of red carpets. And sometimes celebrities think they know you because they are used to seeing your face on the red carpet. For instance, we had Brandy Glanville on not too long ago. I didn't say this. Mm-hmm. But the reason we got her on the show is because she came up to me at an event. She went, hi. I think this was a TMZ thing because I used to be on the show. But she went, hi, how you been? Gave me a big hug. And I was like, I'm great. Never met her before in my life. I was like, I'm great. You should come do the podcast. And that's how we got her. Anyway, This is a person who had her own troubles and issues and was kind of fucked up.
Who, Brandy Glanville?
No. This person.
Oh, okay.
This new person.
Glad you cleared that up.
So, yeah, no, well.
Do tell.
Of the women in this city. Yeah.
So I do not like to speak ill of the dead, but this was Brittany Murphy. Mm. So Brittany Murphy thought I was someone named Victor. And so she would see
me. A good strong name.
So she would see me on red carpets and she would go, Victor, how are you? And I don't know what to do. So I just was like, I'm great. How are you? Right. And so eventually I was like, well, I can use this to like help get interviews or whatever. So she was on a red carpet or an event and she wasn't talking to me. I was like, got her publicist. I was like, tell her Victor's here and that Victor would like to talk to her for Us Weekly. And so she came over and then she's like, Victor, why don't you come in and like hang out with us at the event? So I ended up going in with her and sitting at her table at this event. And so she's introducing me to everybody as Victor, which.
Well, Matt's not even straight in his line of women. I love this.
It started to get into questions too. Like I don't remember the name, but like how's so-and-so? Like I haven't seen so-and-so in forever. And I'm like, oh, he's great, you know, like, and I'm just trying to play along.
So it wasn't a wrong name thing. She just completely thought you were somebody else.
Completely different person.
Wow.
Exactly.
Oh my God. Please from tell a different, me this guy shows up.
From a different walk of life. No. He did not show up. But I ended up getting this great interview with her because she thought I was Victor. And not only that, but I ended up staying at the event with her. And then she's like, let's go out. And we went out to a restaurant. I think it was somewhere fancy afterwards, and she paid because, you know, I'm Victor, and apparently Victor has done her right in the past.
Wow.
And so you know what, she was very sweet about it all, but I just got so far down the rabbit hole that I could not say my name's Matt and I actually work You know, like I'm not.
Did you go to the funeral as Victor?
No, I didn't. Okay. Okay. When she died, I was sad. But then,
what a piece of shit, Vic. You didn't go to the funeral.
Didn't even go. He bought her dinner. I mean, I don't think I was invited. Didn't even go.
Victor didn't get my email. Was the invite? It was.
You now had backup though. All her friends could verify that you are Victor, or you could have at least seen the real Victor. Maybe
I would have get caught. But it was one of those situations, like a Larry David situation, you know, where I'm just like. Yeah. What am I gonna do here? All right, yeah. I'm gonna be Victor.
That's it.
So, like, now anytime like the Brittany Murphy comes up, my family knows this story. They're like, "Oh, Victor, how are you?" And I'm like, "Okay."
It's a great story. I love it. It's really funny because the shit happens all the time.
Have you ever? Yeah. Have you ever like?
Well, you run into so many people. This town is. You see so many people all the time. You know, and there are people that you genuinely do like, you know, and you may not exactly have it nailed as to what their name is or exactly how you know them, but you know there's, I don't know, good vibe.
Yeah, definitely.
But I'm sure you also get it on the other side, too. People who recognize you, but they're not sure what, and they're like...
Not sure if they should approach or not sure if who I am, maybe.
Yeah, not sure.
Yeah, like where do I know you from?
Exactly, kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm not, like, at that caliber where people are like, it's fucking George Clooney, like, you know, mistaking it.
They're like, that's Victor.
There are times, exactly. And that's now, from now on, I will go by Victor.
We got to make that the new code word
for when somebody doesn't exactly know your name.
Victor. Ari, is there a moral to Matt's story?
A moral.
You feel like there's any moral to that story?
Yeah, I would say that lying sometimes gets you in the right
free food, free dinner.
All right, cool. My story... when I was in college, because I did go to college.
You did?
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
And
tell me all about that.
When I was in college, actually, I'll tell this story.
Who's they, by the way? They.
Universe.
The universe.
Yeah.
He's switching stories anyway. Don't worry.
Okay. Here's my story. So for a long time, I did this thing called crank text, where I would text strangers, right? Completely random strangers. Like, I got texted by a woman one day who thought I was her cousin. She had the wrong phone number. I texted her for 6 months pretending I was her cousin because I was pretty lonesome.
You're just piggybacking off of my Victor story.
No, I'm not at all. Well, I guess I am, actually.
Yeah, you are.
We both have assumed roles.
Yeah, okay.
So this is another assumed roles story.
Interesting.
So after I got in this conversation with this lady, DeWanda, for so long, I decided that I was going to start texting random numbers. So I just took my own phone number, and I changed the last digit, and I texted, and I said, hello, and I got in a conversation with someone. Then I did it with a couple hundred numbers, right? And I'd be like, hey, it's Adam, you know, or hey, it's Alan. And then somebody writes back, Adam so-and-so, Adam Hansen from so-and-so, and you're like, yup. And then they're like, hey, how you been? And then you're that person all of a sudden, right? If you do enough numbers. So over the course of a long time, I texted about 50,000 random phone numbers over about 5 years.
Wow.
And I was created a website. It's called cranktext.com. You can check it out.
Oh, this is a promo story.
And no, it isn't.
There might be a book coming out.
Yeah, and there is a book coming out. Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing that happened was I started to get really deep into it. Like, I texted a woman that was on her deathbed. Wow, the story is kind of synonymous. I was texting people that were involved in, like, all kinds of, like, crazy stuff. Like, I was getting involved in insurance fraud. I was
you went in deep.
Oh, I went in deep, right?
I can feel it.
Yeah, I got in, and I kept getting addicted to how deep it could be, right? So I got to the point where I was meeting up with people in real life who thought I was the person. I texted this one man, and I was sending him pictures of, like, this girl in, like, a ninja outfit, and he fell in love with her in a ninja outfit, right?
This is like catfish. Like,
100%. It was crazy.
This is a little, like, psychotic.
Oh, yeah. Definitely a little sociopathic, right? We've all had some tough times.
Okay.
So, anyway, at one point, I went and met up with this man at a Starbucks, right? And me and my buddy hid with cameras and just wanted to, like, see this person in real life. Like, it was getting pretty deep, right? Like, I was catfishing. And
would you reveal yourself to these people, or you would just know who they were and they would have no idea?
Yeah, just know who they were, and this guy was married and stuff. And then, you know, I didn't put it out there or anything like that. And he, like, said, you know, but the whole time he's texting me as this girl, he's like, I hate my wife and I love ninjas. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
like, whoa, bro, you're going to fuck a ninja? Like, even if she's straight, even if it's a real woman, that's crazy, dude. You never pull your dick out around a ninja, you know? I mean, that's just common practice, you know? I mean, so anyway, 2 weeks later after meeting this random dude, right, and seeing this guy and not meeting him, I get out of my car in my apartment complex, right, and I go upstairs and I come down and I'm starting some laundry and I come back downstairs and my landlord asked me to get some out of her trunk, right? She gives me her keys. I'm downstairs getting some out of her trunk.
and I feel something push against my back like that, and I turn around, and it's the dude. It's the dude that I'd met up with, right? And he's got a buddy with him, right? A fucking big, and I don't know if you're Mexican, but this guy was Mexican. Uh-huh. And this big Mexican guy, right? And I'm tengo miedo, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that means I'm scared.
But you never met him.
Oh, I never met him live. I just seen him, right? So I don't know how he knows it's me.
Yeah.
I don't know what, but this dude gets in my face. He's like, I don't know who the fuck you are.
Oh, how did he figure out?
I
have
no
idea. Well, I mean, if you're showing up at these places, how many times did you?
And my number was on the internet. My number has tons of complaints against it. Like, this guy tried to sell me sod in Vietnam. Like, this guy's, you know, trying to hire people for Civil War reenactments. This guy's starting a fake church. Like, a lot of stuff was going on. And this dude threatens me, like push me up against my landlord's car, right? And is literally holding me down, dude, by the throat this way. Dude, and I'm scared out of my gourd. I don't really exactly know what to say. I guess I didn't know how much I wanted. I was just like, look, I'm sorry. You know, you'll never have to hear from me again. Then this dude, his buddy, has a crowbar or something, but literally goes around this car, breaks out all four of the fucking windows, right?
Shit.
He's like, and this is what you get, right? Never again, right? Never again, right? Kept threatening to hit me on my legs,
and
right?
I'm Hispanic, but I wish I could tell you who the guy was. I have no idea.
Thankfully,
we don't
doesn't
know
hit me
other.
On my legs, right? But here's the shitty part. It wasn't my car. It was my landlord.
Yeah,
my,
that's awful.
It was my landlord's car, Miss Sandy, man. Right?
Dude,
I had to go upstairs and tell her that, and at that point, I quit the crack.
Wait, did you tell her the honest reason?
No, I was like,
somebody came in.
I said, two cholos just attacked me in the fucking basement.
Okay, the moral of your story is you're evil.
Okay, I was going
bringing out the best in people.
I got, okay.
There were moments where I did bring out the best in people originally with the texting. Like, it was cool. Like, it was funny, and I would, like, raise people's spirits, and there was some cool stuff going on.
What did you do with the woman on the deathbed?
She died.
She did.
Yeah, and I didn't do anything with that. She was in a hospital, and she thought I would think was an ex-daughter-in-law. But
she thought you were the ex-daughter. And did you heal some wounds, maybe?
She said that, you know, your father felt sorry about some things that, like, so I think there was some, you know, maybe I did.
All right, the real moral of the story, what I took from the story is that your laundry is not in your apartment. It's too room. Yeah, you have to go downstairs to
but
your
Ari's
laundry.
A moral master. Ari, you take a moral out of the story?
Sounds like you got instant karma, man.
Yeah.
Sounds like you got...
Sounds like karma's instant now, huh?
But it was a great story, and I think you should continue doing those things. I don't know why you stopped.
I mean, that must have been a lot
of
your fun,
attitude.
Actually.
It was insane.
If you have that kind of time on your hands.
I did at the time. I don't have it anymore.
No more.
But that's round one.
Rodriguez. Wow. I feel like this is... you're at a moral crossroads right here. Both of us are pretty psychopathic.
It's true.
But
Matt also once impersonated a kid with multiple sclerosis meet a man from Breaking Bad.
No, it's completely wrong.
Oh, my God. To meet the kid from Breaking Bad?
No, you're completely wrong. Yeah. He's wrong. It was Ray Donovan, and it was a guy who thought I had Parkinson's, and it was the same situation. And
he just assumed you had
it. He just decided, because I do have a shake, and so
and
I
Matt
just went along
with it
because...
You have restless hand syndrome, but not Parkinson's.
Not
restless DNA syndrome.
And so I didn't know what to do, so I just went along with it.
Shit. All right.
You know what? Yeah, that seems to be your MO, man.
I guess I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
What do you say in those situations?
You're like a chameleon of diseases and despair. All right, Rodriguez, who wins round one?
Oh, my God. you know, for entertainment value, I got to say, I mean, the idea of the crank calls is really hysterical,
Thank you. Thank you.
In terms of having something a bit more tangible to bite into, reference to Brittany Murphy and, you know, really getting sucked into how you could really get sucked into that moment of going along with being Victor. We've all been Victor at some point in our life, whether it's to meet a girl or to get a free dinner at Katsuya. I got to go with Matt.
Yes. Oh. Wow. I will proudly take that win.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't done with the same intention. Yours, certainly, you created the fun yourself.
Yeah.
I think Matt
had
a habit
of just
saying
yes. We all make poor choices. Before we start the next round, I have to tell you one thing that myself, Matt, and Ari all have in common. We're all wearing Me Undies. They're the most comfortable in the world. And guess what? He could even wrap his bottom in a cloud, but he chooses not to because Me Undies are so soft. And
as a special gift to our listeners. You can get 20% off your first order by going to MeUndies.com/FUNNY. And if you don't like MeUndies, your first pair is free. Love MeUndies. Yes, you will. They're made with sustainably sourced Modal, the softest fabric known to man. Softer than a baby. Go to MeUndies.com/funny, FUNNY, for 20% off your first order. Now, let's get back to the show. All right, let's move on to
round two, our interview with our great guest,
Adam Rodriguez.
Would you like to go first?
Yeah, I'm going to start off. Magic Mike, man. Yeah. We got to hit you in the Magic Mike. And since we have you here today on our Magic Mics, how envious do you get being around Channing Tatum? Like, how is it hard not to be envious around him?
You know, I've never been an envious person, actually. Mm. Like, you kind of just got to know what you have to work with and be good with that. Do the most you can with it.
Wow.
And sometimes you're going to be around people that have a different set of skills, man. And Chan is, he's got a whole bunch of skills that I don't have. The fucking guy can dance his ass off.
He's one a great
of the
dancer.
Nicest people. Great dancer. Great dancer. You know, one of the nicest guys you could ever meet. And he's just, you know, he's on top of the world right now. I mean, there's really no room for him. Like, what is, I don't know. I just never got the point of being envious. I always feel like envy is the perfect way to waste your fucking time at getting better at something you could be good at.
Right.
So
now that's a great line. I mean, that's really true. I mean, that's certainly true.
Well, yeah. While you're getting.
And truthfully, I mean, you know, you're in a room doing these movies. I mean, I think what made them work so well and what made us even want to do a second one was the fact that, you know, it was a room of alpha males. I mean, but without ego, you know, everybody was an alpha male in their own right.
Right.
You could take anybody out of that group and put them in some other room, whether it was Joe Manganiello or Matt Bomer or Kevin Nash at 7 feet world wrestling champion. You know, I know you made that face about Matt Bomer. I can't blame you. One of the very most handsome men.
But who is handsomer though? Then I'm gonna go with that. Who's handsomer?
Oh man, Matt Bomer has one of the best faces of all time.
Does he?
He does.
And again, just like an absolute.
It's just not real.
So if you could take Matt Bomer's face and put it on Channing Tatum's body, would the world explode?
Matt Bomer's got a good face too. Good I mean, body. A good body, too, yeah.
He does, yeah, man.
I wouldn't take that away.
Yeah.
So he wins.
Yeah, all of those bodies were pretty interchangeable, I'd like to think.
So now my question is, whose Wang did you see?
I actually didn't.
You didn't see anybody's Wang.
Just
my own. You had to.
No,
I mean,
just
this is stripping.
Bro, I'm straight, and if I'm running anywhere around town, you see a dick in the afternoon.
I mean, I've seen more dicks in locker room in high school than I did doing Magic Mike. Everybody's got a trailer. You're actors. You go back to your trailer, you get on your G-string, you come out, you do your routine, and like, you know, nobody's cock popped out while we were doing any of the routines.
I was going to say, no Wang popping?
No. Maybe a little ball slippage.
Did you see Matt Bomer?
I have some saggy balls. I had a little, you know.
You slippage. Had balls sagging. Slippage. You had ball slippage.
You know, balls might have been flying around a little bit, but I did
sounds
not.
Like my weekend.
I didn't see any tube steak. No.
Wow. So I have a question now. So you were on you were on CSI, off CSI, back on CSI. When that experience occurred, like, what was that like? Because that's a huge series.
Yeah.
And to feel that something like that is going away must be really, really tough, because we know how tough of a business this is.
Fuck yeah,
and man. Then to have it, like, with the fan support to come back, what was that like?
You know, I can't lie. Like, my feelings were hurt. But mainly just because of how quickly it happened. You know, I'd been on that show for 7 seasons at the time, and my contract was up, you know, officially up. You know, the show was a big hit. So after, I guess after 3 seasons or something, we got a little bump in pay, you know, that didn't seem proportionate with the success of the show.
Right.
But you start learning about how business works and you realize, like, okay, you know, this just isn't the place where these parts of, you know, my financial dreams are going to come true. But you get a little bump in the pay. The next year, there was another bump. And of course, you've got to fight tooth and nail to get any of this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's no this one's just Hollywood going like, here. Hey, we love you. Great job. Thanks for making this a success with us. We want to share this. We want to share
right.
this
it's your
with
man.
You.
It's a 3-month conversation with your manager.
You're going back
like,
and
we're trying
forth.
To get 2,500
We're not
going to
give you anything. We're going to give this person something, but we're not going to give you anything. And meanwhile, you know, there were a lot of things going on that show at the time. And I was sort of the glue. I was the one person at that time that, you know, that I was a utility player. I could work with anybody on the show. I got along well with everybody. There were no beefs, no qualms. And so, you know, there were some characters that weren't getting along, and, you know, and to make matters easy, you know, I was the guy that would sort of get bounced around to keep the peace,
right,
so to speak. So
did that come in handy, you think?
It didn't, because what happens is that goes on one side of the production, and the powers that be, the people that really control the purse strings, they don't really know. They don't get wind of all of the things that are right. going on. And so
that doesn't factor,
you
know, in.
Yeah, so that doesn't factor into what your value really is. And so a couple of years later, it was time for a big renegotiation, because at this point, I think the show had been on five or six at that point. I think it was five seasons or whatever. They offered me a raise. It wasn't commensurate with what I felt was fair, even, you know, because I had, you know, to give you the real story, I mean, I'd started out not far apart in salary,
yeah,
with another character on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, our salaries had become so disparate that I was like, this just isn't fair.
Right.
You know? And so when they offered me the raise, I said, look, you know, I'd rather just finish out this year and mm-hmm. not take the raise. Because when they give you the raise, they want you to sign on for a longer period of time. So I said, look, I'll just not take the raise, and I'll take the salary that's coming to me, and I'll pass that up. And so months went by, and I guess they were waiting for me to crack, and I just wasn't. I'd made up my mind. I was resolute about it. And so Jerry Bruckheimer called me into his office. We sit down. He talks. And Jerry had a really sensible talk with me. I mean, you know, what you do realize sometimes, like, as an actor, you know, or as an artist, I guess I should say, you know, you have this idea of what's principled and what isn't, and where you're going to stand in the grand scheme of all that. And you're going to, you know, do what's righteous and stand up for yourself and all this stuff. And he had a real conversation with me. And he was like, look, what we're offering you may not be what you think is fair, but it's still a lot of money.
Right.
And, you know, to walk away from that amount of money, you know, for what, basically, you know, so that you can, you know, one thing really has nothing to do with the other. And although I know he was saying it because, you know, he had his side of things,
right,
and he just didn't want to spend the money, because yeah, if he thought I was worth it, it wouldn't have never been a conversation. But I always appreciated him taking the yeah time to tell me that before they cut me loose,
right,
you know. And so I did. I acquiesced, and I said, look, you know what? It makes sense. I'll take the money. And I stayed on the show. And I owed them another year after that. And mm-hmm. so after that year that I owed them, it was after season 7. And at this point now, after 7 seasons, I was very clear with myself, like, look, it's either this or I'm out of here, you know, just because I knew what this other character was getting at that yeah point. And like I said, I mean, I knew the difference in the amount of work that was being
yeah
put in, you know, and I just,
yeah,
it just wasn't fair to me anymore in my mind. And so so they offered me, you know, a bit of a raise, and it wasn't even close to what I was thinking. And I just turned it down. You know, this is how the negotiations go.
Yeah.
If you've ever been involved, they give you a number, you say no, you know, they come back with another number, you say maybe, they come back with another number that's like, this is it, or, you know, or go home.
Right.
And so we never got to even the second stage yeah of that. I
wow
just said no to the first offer.
And
they
that was
said
it.
And I got a phone call an hour later, maybe. I'll never forget it. I was in Puerto Rico for a charity event, and everything else in life was going great at the time. You know, love life was great. I was happy. I was, you know, everything was great. And I get this phone call an hour later, and it was like, hey, they cast this other guy. They cast Eddie Cibrian. And the only reason I knew that quickly was because my manager's wife at the time was Eddie's agent.
Mm.
So the call went into her. She knew right away. So
wow
he called me, and he was like, listen, they already cast the role. Like, it's wow it's over. There will be no counter offer. This is done. You're
wow
off the show.
So that was a big changing moment.
7 years of my life that I'd put into this show, you know, and then in an instant, there wasn't even this, you know, this
farewell
this
party
to,
or anything.
Yeah, there was no it's effort to hang on to me. You know what I mean? And it did. It hurt, because you feel like, shit, you know, I've given all these hours and put in all this time on working this job, you know, and it didn't mean anything to any, it didn't even mean enough to take that negotiation a step further,
right, yeah,
you know? So I really realized it was a great lesson. I mean, it was a lesson in business. It was a lesson in life. Like, it was,
yeah,
you know, but, you know, I've got this manager that I've been with for 16 years, maybe longer, about 16 years. And his name's Abe Hawk. He's a wonderful man. He's like my second dad. And, yeah, I learned a lot from him. And luckily we had the kind of relationship where, you know,
he helped you make it through it, huh?
Well, he helped me make it through it. And he taught me this piece of business philosophy that I was clear on when I made this decision. And it's, you know, there's the or what position, you know, which is somebody gives you a decision to make, you know, you make that decision or offers you something, you know, and you say no to it. You have to be comfortable with the or what, or I'm willing to take what you're right. giving me, or I'm willing to walk away. Right. You know, so what? So at that point in time, I was comfortable with the or what.
Right.
You know, of walking away. I just didn't expect it to happen that quickly. I thought there would have been a back and forth. Because look, no matter what, you want more money, you want this, you want that, you know, you do realize how hard it is to get a job in this town. And yeah. when you do get a job that lasts and is as successful yeah. as that show was, Jesus. You know, it's a little crazy to walk away from it over, you know, mm-hmm. you know, what may or may not
hindsight's,
be,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
But you learn from it, as you said, you learn the
so,
lesson.
So, yes, you definitely do. You know, you definitely have to really be clear on what your value is. And it's not, you know, I mean, look, for you as a person, it's what you decide your value is, but you also have to be aware that in the world of business, you know, that value, they have a different value
right.
of what
of
that
course,
is.
Because they're on the other side of the coin.
But exactly. you know what? Everything so, happens for a reason. Whatever that is.
It does.
It yeah.
does. It does. So what happened there is, so I get that call. And he's like, the cast Eddie Cibrian. I'm a little crestfallen. I'm like, wow, this shit's for real. Like, it's done. 7 years of my life. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, that'll take you up to the flamenco floor.
Yeah, you
Puerto
know what
Rico,
I mean?
Huh?
So
for
I'm
a little
like,
hot
I'm like, all right.
Life's going to change.
Life's different. But I give it some thought. And what I realized in that moment, I was like, you know what? What matters to me is that I've played this character for 7 years and I actually get an opportunity to give the character a proper send off, give the audience a proper farewell. They had ended the season before. The season ended on a cliffhanger of me racing away with this guy that was my dad and being shot at. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you didn't know if I was going to come back or not. It would have been it wasn't a great cliffhanger. Like if I didn't show up at the beginning of the next season, I'd have been really curious to see how they would have resolved
right.
that. But, I called up the showrunner and name's Ann Donahue. And I said, look, you know, I understand this is done. And I'm surprised that you didn't call me or nobody called to sort of hash this out a bit more than it was. But that's not the issue. What matters to me is that you give this character a proper send-off. So let's just figure out how you want to do that. But if you're willing to do it, I'm open to it. You
right.
know? And she was like, you'd be willing to come back. And I said, yeah, I'd be willing to come back for a couple of episodes or one episode or however many it will take you to just decide how you want this guy to ride off into the sunset. Because, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah, you
the way
that.
We ended the season
you owe it to
was,
the viewers, everything.
Yeah. I just really felt like I owed it to the viewers. Man,
100%.
You know? I mean, and like I said, I mean, 7 years of my life playing this character, it would have been a real shitty way to go out.
100%.
You know, driving
yeah.
away in the car that way. So she was open to that. And so they went back to the network. The network agreed to do it. And they decided that they'd have me come back for 3 episodes. And then it turned out they were like, well, we'd like to bring you back for 3, but then have the option to bring you back for 7 more after that. And I was like, listen, you know, it's kind of a mixed message, you know. And I said, I'm fine with coming back for the 3 and I'm fine coming back for the 7, except the 7, I'm going to have to be in what's called second position in case I get another job.
Right,
I
of course.
Have the right to turn you down that I don't owe you that 7 episodes, you know, which at that point I was like, cool. If I'm not busy, then I've got
work.
7 episodes of work, you
That's
know,
great.
On top of the 3. So 10 episodes of work. So we did that deal. And then it turns out I got a gig on a show called Ugly Betty.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up doing a character on there it was one of my favorite characters I've ever played, a guy named Bobby Tolerzio. And I loved working on that show. It was a great show. Great show. So well written. The performances were great. It was so different than anything else that was on TV at the time. And so I ended up having a great year, man. I bounced back and forth from New York back to LA to do CSI Miami and spent the whole television season going back and forth. I ended up doing, I think, 11 episodes of Betty and 11 episodes of
wow.
CSI Miami. So I did a full television season, got to play this other character and break away from CSI Miami. And I think in the end, man, it was probably the best thing that could have happened for my career because
right. things worked out the best.
It did. Doing Ugly Betty, I got to show some comedy chops and step outside of this, you know, the box that was CSI Miami.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think people got to see that and, you know, and I still got to go back and play with the people that I loved over on CSI Miami. And so at the end of that season, the fans apparently, you know, I love them. I mean, they really had my back.
They rode in, they rebelled.
The ratings went down. They rode in. They were, you know, they're very vocal about wanting to support that. And, you know, and I got to give Tyler Perry credit because I did a Tyler Perry movie during that year with Taraji Henson. We did a movie called I Can Do Bad All By Myself. And then Tyler, to promote the movie, had this this talk show sit down that he would have with his actors to do a little Q&A and talk about the movie. And it was sort of like a late night talk show format, but you know, it was with Tyler hosting it. And so during that, he brought up the fact that I was going to be leaving the show. And it was really the first way, that was the first time fans sort of got wind of it. And, you know, and then I think that was a big part of creating the groundswell that occurred, you know, that
brought
ended
you back,
bringing me back.
So speaking of your career and doing well, I mean, Empire and Jane the Virgin.
Yeah. What a great show, right?
Both of them great shows. But Jane the Virgin,
again,
especially.
So different.
Like, completely
nothing
different.
Nothing like it on TV.
A lot of people, I'm wondering, are you coming back?
You know, I don't know where. I mean, I have a feeling now because we keep up with it in my house. My wife loves the show, and so we watch it. And so I know where it's at now. Jane and Michael are now back together.
Right.
So I don't know where there's room for Professor Chavez to sort of come back in. But if I get the call, I would go back in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Because I absolutely loved working on that show.
Did you ever have a crush on one of your teachers? Or go on a date with one of your teachers?
No, that would have been cool.
My dad banged his
did he?
His speech.
You couldn't wait to get that out.
No, my dad banged his
the closest Matt ever came to hitting some.
Well, you know my dad.
Teachers?
One of his own teachers. Okay. His like public speaking teacher. My dad is very quiet and
very
does not
shy.
Speak very well.
I've hung out with him 4 times. Dude's probably said 7 words.
but he's hung like a horse.
He didn't pay attention during the class. He just banged the teacher.
Who had to? No, I had a couple of friends of mine in high school that I shouldn't say a couple. I know there's one for sure that was banging a teacher in high school. And she was probably the best looking teacher in the school.
Yeah.
During
high school.
We had a science teacher that got caught trying to have a relationship with a student, Mr. Cave.
We had a couple of
everybody
really,
had that.
We had a guy named Marty Brettschneider.
Oh, Marty.
Marty.
Who was thought to have done the same thing to several different students over the years. He would prey on, I guess, a very particular type of girl. And I don't know. I really don't know the extent to which any of that went.
But there was some alleged
behavior. There was definitely something creepy going on. You know, like whatever it was, whether it was just mind games or whether, you know, there was actually any physical interaction.
Every school had one.
But I'll never forget my sister. I guess I was in 10th grade. My sister was in 7th or 8th at the time. And I didn't like this guy. He was the gymnastics coach, too.
He always
had the guys from the gymnastics team back to his house or whatever. But I did gymnastics 1 year in 7th grade. I was going to wait to play football that year. I'm going to do gymnastics. Right? Did you say gymnastics? So I did gymnastics. And this was, I always had a problem with this with a lot of my coaches, especially the ones that were insecure fucks, you know, which for some reason it seems like you either get the greatest guys that are your coaches, because I had some great fucking coaches growing up, or you get they're just the exact opposite. And so Brettschneider was a prick through and through. But he was a great gymnast. I mean, he was supposed to have competed in the Pan Am Games and all this other stuff. So anyway, he used to have the guys back at his house. I never got invited to any of these things, so I don't know what the situation was with that. But I get into high school, and my sister tells me one day he said something smart alecky to her, like something that, you know, insinuated him trying to get cute or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I showed up this was the time these starter jackets were really popular.
Oh, yeah, it was hot.
Yeah, and so I had this Notre Dame starter jacket, and I came in with a lead pipe in the sleeve of it, and I walked in. He knew me. We knew each other.
You broke all his car windows out?
No, I wanted to crack his fucking skull.
Yeah. Wow.
But I walked in, And I walked into his class. He had a full classroom. I walked in and he was like, and he knew me right away. I mean, because like I said, we never really got along. And he was like, what are you doing here? And I said, I need to talk to you outside. And he was like, I'm not going to talk. I said, well, I don't think you're going to want this to happen in front of the students.
Damn.
And he was like, so he comes outside. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. I'm not a tough guy like that. But like, yeah, it was my sister.
But he, hey, you were in a starter sister, jacket.
And I, yeah, exactly. Who was tough
power
in a starter jacket?
Everybody. Starter jacket. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, exactly. Turn, yeah.
Especially with the little fighting Irishman on the back that I had. It was like.
A thug.
So he comes outside and he was like, what the fuck are you doing here? My class said, you ever fucking say anything smart to my sister again? I'm going to come back here. I'm going to fucking bash your skull in.
Damn.
And he was like, get the fuck out of here. And I was like, I got in his face and I was like, do you hear me, man? I was like, I will bash your fucking skull in. And then, and he, you know, he's getting red in the face. Like he wants it, but he doesn't do anything.
Right.
And I don't do anything. And I leave. And that was
that's
it.
Good, though.
And I never fucking,
that's your
you
job.
Know,
as a brother, that's
but
your
that
job.
Was my, you know, yeah. Shout
by
out
the
to
way,
my boy, Joey Ranella that went with me to go handle that little piece
Ranella.
Of business. Ranella.
When you become if you ever become a teacher, you're going to be a very popular teacher.
Yeah,
I can tell.
Well,
yeah, especially in the boys' gymnastics.
You know,
squad.
But that was always the beef that I had. And I think that was the beef that I had with coaches like him, were people that just preyed on people that, you know, that he knew he could take advantage of, you know? And that's like the one thing. I don't like to fight. I don't like to do any of that shit. But that's the one thing where
preying on people is weak.
I just see fucking red, man. Yeah. Like when stuff like that happens, that's the one place like I could, you know.
Especially since he had a type. Like that's so, like things happen where like, you know, as messed up as it is, where like an older man can be attracted to a younger, like,
sure,
you know, there's things that can occur, but like,
yeah, yeah,
when you have a
you
type and you're
somebody
like,
for that, I
right?
Mean, yeah, falling in love or whatever it is. I mean, listen, when it's appropriate, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean,
yeah.
I'm the last person to complain about, you know, an age gap. I mean, you know, I'm got a significant age difference from my wife, but it has to be obviously age appropriate.
Right, right.
It's
it has to
be
age
legal.
Appropriate.
And
every
you can't
school.
Be in a position of power where you're preying on someone
right.
that looks up to you as a teacher or as a coach or as somebody that's supposed to provide guidance.
Right.
You can't be going into that.
You can't be
to
guiding
get something.
Them back to your place.
Yeah, yeah. You can't get something in it for yourself out of that, especially when, you know.
Every school had one.
Yeah, man.
All right, so, you guys, who was y'all's pedophile?
She was a teacher there, and I was always mad that she never tried to molest me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I always felt a little left out.
You know what? I think about that. Honestly, like at that time, as cool as it sounds,
yeah,
right?
Cool. That's a good
like
point.
You'd have been so fucking
nervous.
Imagine a teacher, like the one kid that I knew this kid, Chris Ferenzi. And Chris, you know, he was just ahead of his time. Chris was like one of those guys, had a fucking beard in sixth grade. And like, you know, I mean, he was a wild boy, man.
Yeah,
he was
like, an adult.
He was banging kids' moms. Like he was
a man.
Yeah, by high school, he was a man. He was ahead of his time. And I don't know, can I get into trouble for telling this shit, like about saying people's names?
No, we could always take out his last name,
yeah.
So we can bleep it out.
But Chris was definitely one of those guys. I mean, like, you know, he was living life hard way before his time.
In sixth grade.
Yeah, I mean, way before his time. And he was the kid that was banging the teacher in high school. But yeah, I think you had to be one of those guys not to let a situation like that intimidate you.
Yes.
You know, I was never afraid to get into it with a teacher. Like I would have an argument. I would, you know, Brechneider, I would have gotten physical if it would have come to that.
Yeah.
But if they closed the door and you were sitting there,
but if it had been a female teacher, that was like,
I couldn't handle it.
You know, I would have been like, wow, I don't know what I would have done.
Reminds me of getting invited to Brian Singer's parties.
Giving it my best shot.
Oh, I bet it does.
I can only imagine.
It's very similar.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a more of a funny turn. So
yeah, that went fucking dark. Real all talking about
it
your
went
dad
life.
Banging.
Yeah,
banging.
Well,
where
yeah.
were we before that, Ari? Do you remember?
You don't know if you're coming back to Jane the Virgin, but you would.
Right.
You would love to.
Yes.
You would love to.
I'd love to. Jenny Snyder Ehrman that runs that show is brilliant, man. And Gina Rodriguez is great.
And Empire's cool to work on.
Empire was great too, man. I mean, the show's, you know, it's a juggernaut, and everybody involved with it was cool. And honestly, I mean, for me, the main draw was that I always have such a great time working with Taraji.
She's
great
awesome.
People, man. She's one of those people you meet in the business. Actually, Gina on Jane the Virgin, very similar character.
She's so cool.
Just so down to earth and cool that like going to work is a pleasure. It's fun.
But the Empire set seems like it could be a little more serious.
Not as loose as Jane the Virgin.
Yeah.
Yeah, not even close. I mean, you know, it's a drama. The different things going on in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I always feel like that sort of permeates the atmosphere of the set. You know, I mean, great crew, great people working on it. We had laughs, but it's so different than working on a comedy.
How is fatherhood?
the greatest thing to ever happen to me in my life. I've always wanted to be a dad. It's something that, you know, even as a kid, as a young teenager, I was like, yeah, I can't wait to be a dad. And, you know, I think somehow it's other parents that you see that make you want to be a parent sometimes more than your own, you know, but yeah, I think you also had to have loved your own childhood to want that. And I did, you know, I was lucky. I had two great parents, you know, who worked their asses off and, you know, got me and my sister through life. Yeah. But so I always looked forward to having that responsibility, to playing that role, so to speak. And I could have sworn it would have happened to me a whole lot sooner in life.
That's
like,
funny.
I mean, I remember, you know, being 18, 19 years old thinking like, oh yeah, by the time I'm 25, I have two kids and, you know, be doing this and doing this, you know, and you make all these plans for your life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you're like, and then life rolls out and you're like, wow, man, shit, I'm 35. I don't have kids. I'm 38. I don't have kids. All right. And
things get different.
You were 38 when you had your...
I was 39. I turned my daughter's birthday is April 14th and mine is the 2nd. And wow. So I had just turned 39 when she was born. And I've never been happier than I am in my life. I never even, you know, I only imagined that I could be this happy.
So is she the terrible twos?
They
normal?
Call it that. But you know, man, I got to tell you, huh? The more I'm going through it, the more I mean, listen, they do. They assert themselves at this age. They want to test boundaries. They want to see how far they can push things to, you know, and see what the response is that they're going to get. They're wilding out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're wilding out.
But I really do see firsthand now, you know, that what you put into it is what you get out of it. You know, the amount of time and attention you put into it, the amount of time you spend listening to them and paying attention to the moves they make, you know, gives you an opportunity to guide things the way that you think they should go. That's your fucking job as a parent, you know. And I know we've all got to work and we've got to do certain things, but. You know, I'm really just in a place right now where I'm enjoying the fact that, like I said, I always wanted to be a dad and I kind of planned for it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I wasn't loose with my money. I was, you know, I was pretty frugal with my money. I had the good fortune to be on that show for as long as I was and to save, you know, a good amount of money so that I just knew whenever this time came for me in my life, I wanted to be able to fully enjoy it. You
right.
Know? I mean, obviously I want to keep working. I love working, but I wanted to be able to really put the best part of my time into being a dad and a husband and all of these things. And so
you can afford to do that.
And I can afford to do that without the stress of, you know, I mean, for me, I'm living my dream right now. This was my dream. Work is great. I love working. I love what I do. But truly, like, I'm living my dream.
Do you have play dates with Chan's kid?
Yeah, my daughter loves Chan's daughter.
Really?
Yeah, it's funny, actually, I texted Chan last night because we're going through the TV and... flipping channels and Step Up was on and it was Chan and Jenna in a scene together. So my wife paused it and we took a snapshot and I sent it to them. And because as soon as my daughter saw the two of them on screen, she's like, where's Evie? Where's Evie? And I started cracking up. So we just sent them a text laughing about it.
Oh, that's cool. That they,
if you
the
can
same...
laugh about something in a text, I guess.
That's cool. That they,
LOL,
see,
bro. That's it. That's exactly. Why they made
unless
it.
Unless Theo's texting you.
Yeah, exactly. Then you run the other way.
But man, great. You're living your dream. That's so cool.
Yeah, I got to tell you. It's
such, awesome to hear.
Man, it's an amazing feeling. It's really incredible.
Well, we are not, but it's okay.
Well, and I have one more question I want to ask.
I think I got a couple of years on you guys. Little by little. Little by little. Just...
That's inspiring. No,
man, you make the right moves. You know, you have a plan, and look, you can't control this shit. I mean, I used to have on my light switch as a teenager. A friend of mine's mom was really into you know, reading the Bible and stuff, and there was some biblical quote in there, but I broke it down underneath the biblical quote, and it was, you know, basically the quote was like, "Man plans and God smiles."
You know?
And it's like. It's the truth. You know, you can make your plans and you do your best, but you got to be able to roll with the punches. And if you're able to roll with the punches long enough, you will eventually get that thing that you planned for. Yeah. It just never happens the way you think it's going to happen. 100%.
What kind of parents are Chan and Jenna like?
They're great parents. Yeah, no, they're totally hands-on.
They seem like the coolest people ever.
You know, I think that's the point I didn't get to finish earlier in terms of Magic Mike group. You know, you had all these alpha males in a room and this will go back to answering your question about Chan and Jenna, but you had all these guys in a room that in their own right, you know, could go anywhere on their own and stand out in their own
you know, in their own right, whatever, without.
Yeah.
So you get together and nobody had any ego. Everybody was all about the right things. It was like, it was about the work. It was about having fun while we were doing the work. And so it really was the reason to do a second movie, you know, because we wanted to bring all of these people together to work together and have a good time, but also, you know, explore the characters that we didn't get to explore in the first movie. But the key was the people, you know what I mean? And they're just down to earth, solid people, the kind of people that, you know, that, that you value having in your life.
Right? Yeah,
you
know?
Absolutely.
So.
It's awesome.
All right, no, I really have one more question.
Okay, yeah, no, man.
As you were in J-Lo's video.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Back in the day.
Way back in the day. 1999, that was.
What video was it?
It was called If You Had My Love.
If You Have My Love.
Oh,
yeah.
Have you been to our show in Vegas?
No, I was supposed to go to the opening on January 20th, I think it was. And, you know,
Ryan Guzman went instead?
Yes, we switched out. Actually, Wilmer Valderrama went instead.
There you go. There
he is. But no,
Ryan was on here, and he's awesome.
I don't know him, actually.
You don't know him?
Oh, he's really
cool. I don't
cool.
think so.
Super guy, man.
Totally he was in that movie with her, The Boy Next Door.
Oh, yes.
He's on Heroes. Nice, he's a really cool kid.
Nice, cool guy?
Yeah, cool kid.
Yeah, super. Oh,
but yeah, he was gone.
No, I mean, it's amazing because, you know, at that time, Jennifer, myself, there was a group of friends that were, you know, all hanging out at the time. And that's how I ended up in the video. But it's just amazing to see what the trajectory of her career has been.
Yeah. I mean, so are you still friendly with her?
Yeah, we don't talk often, but like if I see her somewhere. Yeah. The last time I saw her actually was at the MTV Awards last year. We presented her an award. The guys from Magic Mike got on stage and we presented her an award. I haven't seen her since then, but you know, whenever we see each other, there's a lot of love there.
All right.
Well, hey, let's wrap up round two.
We gotta wrap up round two.
That went fast. All right.
You have any questions over here, Ari? Any questions?
Ari, come on, hit me with something, man.
You know, it's all such good entertainment knowledge. It just makes me want to dive in and meet one of those Mariah or J-Lo and just spend the rest of my life with someone like that.
You could do worse. You could do worse.
What an odd thing to say.
If you decided not to spend the rest of your life with them, you'd probably end up a very rich man.
Kind of beautifully said.
You know?
Either one.
Don't sign the prenup, Ari.
Did you ever get to put like oil on Matt Bomer or anything? Like, the stripper club?
Gosh, did I ever get to put oil on Matt?
No, there's an oil man or woman.
I'm wondering if, you know, I mean,
ooh.
I don't know if I did. I don't think so. I don't think there was ever a need for it, but I'm sure I've wiped something off of him if he had something on him. Or, you know, I have touched the man. Yes.
I probably used oil.
I mean,
not
in any inappropriate places, but no, sincerely, man, I all of the guys that we did those movies with, I absolutely love.
Is there going to be a three?
Truly love them. I don't think so, man. I think that unless somebody comes up with a remarkably original idea to send these guys out on the road again or to bring them back together, I think it's probably
send them to space, dude. Merge with the Armageddon idea.
But that could work.
That's a great idea because you know they're merging like Men in Black and 21 Jump Street. Now they're doing that kind
of. Are they really?
Yeah, they're merging those franchises.
Yeah, franchise. Men in Black and the Oscars too.
That's hilarious.
And now they should do Armageddon and Magic Mike. I think I love it.
I love that.
And look,
idea.
You guys
That's
have to
fantastic.
Dance hard enough that it puts the moon into retrograde and saves the planet.
No, and we can turn back time.
There you go. I love it.
We are gyrating so hard out in ISS that we can
turn back time.
Theo and I will crank out the script.
Yeah. All right.
No, we tried. We tried coming up with an idea for three, but no, we haven't gotten there yet.
I think
we'll just end up doing a movie together about something totally different.
Yeah.
All right, round two, you got to give it away.
Okay, round two, got to give it away.
Better interviewer, myself or Matthew?
Doesn't have to be better interviewer. It could be what questions you found more entertaining.
Okay, it could be anything you want.
Damn, that's tough. You know, I got to give it to myself. I felt like I was the most entertaining. Wow. I feel like I didn't stop talking, quite frankly. You guys are probably like, shut the fuck up.
You were very entertaining.
We thought that at points, figured but out you are the guest, and we're really happy.
That's right.
That you're
the guest is always right.
The guest is always right.
So,
all the money I'm getting to be here. Are you kidding me? I'll talk as much as I want.
It all rests on
round three.
It rests on round three now. It all rests on round three. So this is a quick debate. Mm-hmm. And since you were on Jane the Virgin,
yes,
the debate topic is waiting till get married to have sex.
And I'm going to take a side, and then Matthew's going to take a side. We each are going to do 30 seconds, and then we're going to open it up for discussion.
I like this topic.
This is a good topic. This is a good topic.
All right. I'll go first then. 30 seconds.
Okay. I just got to ask this real quick before we go. Mm-hmm. Do we have a reason? Is it religious? Is it
That's what his debate's going to be.
Oh, that is what the debate is about.
That he gets to take his... We'll talk about it as a group.
So you'll explain why you think you should wait? Are we both?
Yeah.
Are we both fighting for the same thing?
No, I'm for yes, and he's for no.
For no.
Okay.
Yep.
And the clock is starting now.
All right. I believe that you should wait for marriage just because you are not wasting your sexuality and that sexual energy out in the world. You're saving that and giving it to someone special. And I think that that creates a bond that is that only helps the love that you have emotionally even more. So having that physical support there for your emotional support is just huge. And if you're out there just spraying it out everywhere, then you know, it's not as valuable whenever you do find the one you love.
Well, okay. My rebuttal. It's a very romantic notion, but I'm guessing that's not true in your own life. So you're being very hypocritical right now.
I didn't say it had to be true in my own life.
I know. Completely. I like, it's a very...
Okay, then thanks for attacking.
It's no reason. I mean, you're taking the point. I'm just going to say that I think, listen, if I didn't experiment sexually or whatever, I'd probably be married to a woman now and be in a horrible situation that I didn't know about. So
or a crazy new sitcom.
In space.
Right. Two men, a random woman, and a baby.
I'm not saying you got to go sleep with everybody, but I think that I'm all for sexual exploration and not... marriage to me also isn't some high held thing. I don't even want to get married. I'm good in just being with whomever I'm with. So
wow. So Matt will be on Grindr later this evening, gentlemen.
So in other words,
that's our side, huh?
I'm on Grindr. No, that's my point of view.
So I say yes. Matt says no.
And I have to decide who argued their point
you
better.
You can just discuss your point. You can
share my point.
Yeah,
of
let's
view.
Share I'll your point of view.
Okay. Because I actually think you made a better argument, although I agree with what you're saying. And you made a great point. I mean, the great point is that, you know, sexual exploration, I mean, your body starts doing those things for a reason because, you know, it is a time in your life where you have to acknowledge that your hormones, your chemistry, your mind is sort of yearning to learn about these new things and utilize them in order to learn about them.
Right.
So yep. I think you have to go ahead and do what your mind and your body are telling you. I think if you want to argue that based on, you know, philosophical beliefs, whether that's rooted in religion or right. otherwise, you know, then that is something you have to, you know, work out for yourself.
Oh, and believe me, I'm to each their own.
Yes, absolutely, to each their own. And my personal opinion, I side with your point of view in terms of the fact that, yes, I think you do have to explore so that when that time comes, you have, you know... you have answers to things that you would never have answers to otherwise if you hadn't explored them. If you hadn't
you
opened
real.
Those doors, if you had, they're real.
That
they're
not genuinely,
rooted in,
you have
yes,
a real.
They're not rooted in something someone else is telling you. They're not rooted in something you think but don't know.
Right.
You know, you have to explore. Have those experiences. You know what I mean? You have to.
That's fair.
You have to live. You know?
Well,
now, I think what comes into play is how consciously you live. If you're doing those things and you're out of your mind, putting your dick everywhere that you can and you're not paying attention to the lessons you're learning along the way, then you're wasting your fucking time.
True.
You know, and you're probably going to end up
that.
In a bad place.
We've all done that.
But if you're doing those things and you're like, shit, you know what? I did this and this felt great and I want to keep doing it until I'm bored with it. Or I did this and, you know, it's not the direction I want to go in. I'm a lover and I want to, you know, enter into a relationship every time I'm going to have sex. But I don't know. I don't know really what the value of waiting all that time is, quite frankly, just because I feel like we only get so much time here on earth and you have to.
So you were not a virgin when you got married?
I was not a virgin.
You were not Jane.
Although I was kind of old, man. I lost my virginity at 17.
That's not
that
normal.
I was kind of old for me. I mean, I started messing around. I was probably, you know, I was probably doing everything else from the time I was about 13, 14.
Dude,
so it took you a couple years to get around the bases.
I was a hopeless romantic, man.
Yeah,
I was like,
go.
I want to be in love the first time I have sex.
Yeah.
I really want to be in love with the girl. And like, and so I waited and it didn't work out that way. And I finally just said, fuck it.
Yeah.
I was older than you.
I lost my virginity behind a bowling alley, actually, while some kids were throwing rocks at us. Ari, do you have a side? Do you have a side on this?
I think you guys should meet somewhere in the middle, maybe have sex before marriage, but then once you get married, no more condoms.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck with that.
All right, man. With that said,
you can just put the tip in. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just the tip. Yeah. Just one time. Just one stroke.
You got
to
feel
it.
You get a taste. Yeah.
Yeah. Then you put the condom on for sure. Every time.
All right. So you're in the hot seat now. You got to pick someone to. It could be that round or just in general. Who's winning the podcast now?
Oof,
who won this episode?
This is tough, man. You guys are both good. This is a good contest.
We're good.
Neither of our feelings will be hurt if you pick the other. We've won and lost enough.
They will care.
They get hurt every
time. I know. You know, someone always gets hurt. That's the rule. Someone always gets hurt. So I've got to pick who wins the podcast.
Yes. Who's more emotionally unstable?
You know, it's really tough. I mean, I'm a safe person. If you think about the rounds that we're going through, you know, you won with the Victor story by a narrow margin.
Then you won round two.
You won the debate. I won round two. So round two is a good one, which actually helps make the...
He just said it.
Well, because I just felt he
But you know he's not practicing what he preaches.
He liked my argument better, though.
I agree with that.
So then I can't listen to it at all.
That was strictly clinical. That was just about the argument.
Get off of it.
It wasn't... I actually liked what you had to say, but I didn't feel you were concise enough in your argument.
I agree with you.
Well, I could have just made up some like exactly what he said, but he didn't believe it.
What are you talking about? I presented my argument. What do you say, Ari?
Oh, I said you're being a sore loser right
yep,
now.
Yep, he certainly isn't. He hasn't even lost yet, but he can if you choose that I'm the winner.
Gotta go with Matt.
Yes! Oh, that's bullshit. He always wins.
That's not true. I take the win, but everybody, we can possibly see you doing stand-up in and around LA.
If you are unlucky, yeah.
And you have your pilot. Hopefully will get picked up and we can see in the fall or something like that.
Chunk and Bean, it's exciting.
Yeah.
It is.
It's exciting, man. Continued success, dude.
Thanks, fellas.
And we'll keep an eye out for Magic Mike in space.
Yeah.
I'm with it. Hopefully we don't have to get as much in shape.
All right. For Matt Weiss, Ari Manis, I'm Theo Von, Adam Rodriguez, thank you very much.
Pleasure that was awesome. Here with you guys. Yeah, great time. Man. Really great time. Thanks.